A reading from 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 18 to 36. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so that I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "That's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to punish her, to push her away. But the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. Didn't I say, 'Don't raise my hopes'?" Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 23. Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Word of prayer. Lord, thank you that you're with us by your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that the words which I use would come from you, Lord, would touch our hearts and instruct us. And the words, Lord, which are not of you, would fall to the ground like autumn leaves. The title for this morning is Why Couldn't We Drive It Out? It is the question asked, or more exactly, why are they still ill? Or tragically, why have they died? It's a question we must face. And so often when one we love remains ill, or even dies, the question we ask angrily is, why, God? Why did you do this? Why did you not heal him? When the evidence of Scripture seems to contradict that, and from church history we see that God is still in the business of healing. It is still happening. It is in his nature to heal. If we look at Matthew 10 and verse, Jesus sending out the 12 and comprehensively instructing them in verses 7 and 8, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. And drive out demons. But first, let me set out my stall. Almost from the instant faith came alive for me, just over 40 years ago, I have seen and have had the longing to see folk healed by God. Now, if Max was preaching, you get stories from Yorkshire. I'm preaching, you get stories from when we were in Aberystwyth. And when we were in Aberystwyth, we ran a prayer ministry team, and we saw people healed. I remember one lady who graphically described her symptoms to me, to my unending embarrassment. But after prayer, the Lord healed her. And I've been known to talk about the Lord healing people for hours. There's one Alpha Course healing talk that went on for far too long. But our time this morning is very limited. Let's look briefly at the gospel. Jesus had taken Peter and John up to a high mountain, and they'd been away for more than a day. At the bottom of the mountain, there was a crowd around the remaining disciples. A man with a son who had convulsions and other symptoms brought him to the disciples, expecting them to free the child from an evil spirit. And the disciples failed. Jesus returns, and with words which must have cut to the very core of their being, said, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Instantly, Jesus brings healing to the boy, and all those around are filled with awe and wonder. But the puzzled disciples asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And it's a question we've got to face. It sits on our lips today. Why this person wasn't healed? The person being anyone we know and love who's received prayer and anointing. Michael Green comments in his very helpful book, New Testament Spirituality, and I confess I've pinched most of this from him because I think he's brilliant, that healings brought about the disciples were not the same quality as those of the Master, though they were continuing his gracious work. Jesus had no failure rates and no reversions afterwards. All Christian healers experience both, and the problem is not new. Remember Paul, who saw many people healed, but he was forced to leave Trophimus ill at Miletus. He further comments, and this is only a brief summation. Firstly, James 4 verse 2, we do not have because we do not ask. Secondly, scriptures teach us that we have a great outside adversary. Satan is involved in some sickness. Thirdly, and this is obvious, Jesus was divine and we are not. And fourthly, and this is where you need to listen because it gets a little bit complicated, there are three tenses to salvation as set out in Scripture. There's a tense in which salvation has already been achieved and appropriated. We are saved. We gave our lives to the Lord, and we are saved. There's a sense which we experience salvation constantly. I am saved. I am being saved. And there's a sense in which it is still to come. Salvation and healing are always imperfect in this life. Think of it this way. It is not the will of God that we should suffer disease and suffering. Just as it is not God's will that we should sin. In this mortal life, he tolerates both, though he desires neither. If we're to get a balanced view on the situation, we must return to the scriptural understanding about our present condition. It is not how God made the world. And it is not what it will finally be when we go to share his home in heaven. We know that this life is not the end, this life where we so often experience hurts. But the God who loves us, beyond our understanding, has, when we go to be with him, all the time which exists, because heaven is beyond time, to bring comfort, peace, and healing for what we have experienced. Let me remind you of the wonderful words from Revelation 21. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. When we get to be with the Lord, everything will be put right and be put into perspective. Let's think about faith, because Jesus told the disciples, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. If you read the Gospels and the healing ministry of Jesus, you'll often read, as in Luke 8 and verse 48, then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace. Faith needs to be present, and indeed in Mark 5, recording the same incident, the woman thought, if I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She had faith. Jesus would not have a problem with faith. He was and is the Son of God. Faith becomes an issue for those around him and those ministering in his name. Mark 6, verse 5 and 6. In his hometown, he could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. But God is still in the business of healing. Michael Green writes of a situation at a clergy conference in Malawi, where a colleague asked him to pray for his leg, which was clearly non-functional. But after prayer, this man bounded to his feet and started dancing around the church, while his intercessors urged caution. With faith as small as a mustard seed, Jesus said. But did you note, Green wrote that his faith was far from confident. Never say that someone is not healed because they do not have enough faith. You just need faith as small as a mustard seed. We see people healed, we see some improved, and unfortunately some people are not healed. But the Lord is still in the business of healing. So what we've learned, we're not him. We stumble along. We're not the Lord. We stumble along. We stumble along the way like cack-handed apprentices as we seek to follow him. We're not Jesus. We are just as his followers. Why people are healed and why some are not, it really is still a mystery, with salvation and healing being connected like an ever-rolling stream. Let me conclude by telling you a story. The Wednesday congregation, if you were there a few weeks ago, I'm sorry you've heard it. I was in my hometown of Hexham and waiting for Joyce to come from the public loo. I was standing at the top of some steps and a man dragged himself slowly up the steps towards me. He got to the top and apologized for being so slow and poured out a litany of ailments. I'm not the most overt Christian, but I felt compelled to pray for this poor man. So, expecting to be mocked, after all, they can be tough up north, I said to him, I'm a Christian, and I believe God can heal people. May I pray for you? He said, yes. I think I was surprised. So I prayed. Not a massive long prayer, but I prayed simply for him. And he said, appreciated. And we parted our ways. Now, it'd be lovely to say he went skipping on his way. But he went off into the distance. And I will never know if God healed Michael, because that was his name. But you know something? I don't need to know. All I need to know is that a little bit of the kingdom of God was established in Wentworth Car Park, Hexham, on Friday the 12th of May at 2 o'clock. What the Lord did with it is up to him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's an opportunity when you receive Holy Communion to be anointed with oil, and to receive prayer. And he never lets us down. He never fails us. He knows what is the best for us. And he will meet you at your point of need. Why not take a step of faith and see what the Lord will do for you today? Amen.